This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Welcome to a special edition of the Blood Red Podcast with me, Theo Squires. Now, with it being the international break, I've used the opportunity to sit down with a former Liverpool winger, Jermaine Pennant, for an exclusive interview. We cover pretty much all things Liverpool, from his own playing career and Jurgen Klopp's current side, where he talks about Mohamed Salah's future and who he'd like to see replace the Egyptian one day, what he thinks of the current midfield options, Trent Alexander-Arnold's best position, and just Darwin Nunez's role at the club. He also talks about his own time, from how Steven Gerrard tacked him up on the pitch when he was still playing at Birmingham City, his up-and-down relationship with manager Rafa Benitez, his Liverpool highlight getting to the 2007 Champions League final, and infamous night in the Algarve when John Arnorisa clashed with Craig Bellamy. But it won't be the story you think, as he reveals his own point of view on what happened out there. It's a good listen. Hopefully you enjoy it. So sit back.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
So firstly, just want to go on Mo Salah. He's had a great start to the season. 2 years left on his contract, but Saudi Arabia probably are going to come calling again. What's your opinion on his future? What would you do if you're in his shoes?
It's difficult. I think Saudi Arabia is always going to be there. They're not going to go away no matter how long he stays at Liverpool. So it's all up to himself and what he wants to do. Does he want to still play in competitive football? Does he still want to play in Champions League? Does he still want to win the Premier League and Champions League trophies? If that's the case, if that's your ambition, then obviously he's going to always choose Liverpool. But, you know, the latter stages of his career, you know, he's 31 now, so maybe, you know, in 3 years' time, maybe he might start thinking about Saudi Arabia. But if he wants to be ambitious, I don't think he will be leaving anytime soon.
And then when that time does come, whenever it might be, if it's next summer, the summer after, who would you like to see Liverpool sign to replace him?
Where can you go? There's not many people you can replace. Well, if any, replace Mo Salah, really. But, you know, there's talk of Leroy Sané at Bayern Munich. You know, he's really, you know, a good player. He was great at Man City. And when he left Man City, that was a big eyebrow raiser. He's gone to Bayern Munich and he's doing the same there. You know, he cuts in off the left like Mo. He's pacey. He can score goals. So that wouldn't be a bad shout, Leroy Sané. And I'm sure you'll get him for half the price of what he would sell for Saudi Arabia. So a little bit more money in the bank as well.
obviously, you are a traditional winger. You love to get to the line, get your crosses in. So I wanted your thoughts on Darwin Nunez. He must have been the sort of striker you'd have loved to play alongside.
Yeah, 100%. You know, big striker, you know, very dominant in the air. I'm sure he'd have liked me playing alongside him. but yeah, obviously, when you've got someone like that getting past a player and whipping a ball in, and you know he's going to be there or he's going to fight to get there, is always a pleasure. You know, I had the pleasure playing with Crouchy, which all I have to do is just put one in the box, and I know he gets there, hence why I got so many assists with him. But yeah, I'd have loved to play in that team, in this formation, and with the players we've got.
Now, moving a bit more defensively, looking at Trent, there's always going to be this debate about what's his best position. Is he a right back? Should he go into midfield? It's always heightened when he goes away with England and they play him in either position. But he's someone like yourself who had a great cross on him. What do you see as his best position?
I think it's a tough one because you won't mind playing in both. I think it's just a great attribute to have. Like I said, he can play in midfield. If he plays in midfield, he's on the ball a bit more. He's got more range of how he can assist. He's not just restricted to putting a cross in from the right. He can play through balls from the middle. He's more involved in that. So it's really a tough question to really answer. I think he can play in both. I think he's strong in both. I would say it depends on the team you play against, we're best to play him, really. I think that's the best way to go about with Trent. If you're playing against a team that's that's, you know, you're going to dominate and you're going to have a lot of the ball from in midfield. Because, like I said, it just gives more options for the strikers to have players throwing in the assists.
And now, Liverpool's overall midfield revamp. Obviously, it was a very busy summer. What do you think about the business they've done, getting in Szoboszlai, McAllister, Endo, and Gravenberch?
Fantastic. I think it's really night and day from what there was, you know, last season. We had no legs last season, you know, no creativity last season. And now we've just done the opposite. You know, Szoboszlai's came in, he's got the number eight jersey, big boots to fill with the number with the Steven Gerrard. But, you know, he's quickly becoming a fan's favourite with his energy, with his, you know, passing range, you know, the goals he scores. He runs around non-stop. Fantastic addition to that midfield. And then you've got McAllister, who's just absolutely quality on the ball, dictates play. And Gravenberch, when he's came on, he looks a brilliant addition as well. Very technically gifted. And again, quick on the ball, eye for goal. So, yeah, fantastic. And obviously, we know about Endo in the German league, how he can break down counter attacks. You know, he's just got to find his feet. It's still early days for him yet. And find the pace of the Premier League. But no doubt when he plays in that number six, he will come good at some stage.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Now, you've brought us next nicely onto the next question there by bringing up Stevie. I believe he sort of tapped you up when it was your own playing days when it came to your own move to Liverpool. I know you've said the story before. I just wanted an updated version for him tapping you up on the pitch.
Yeah, it was obviously Liverpool versus Birmingham at Birmingham and St Andrews, and he just came up to me while the game was playing, said, "Oh, who's your agent?" So I just told him who my agent was, and then he goes, "Oh, okay," and then jogged off, and I was just left there in a puzzle. So rather than thinking about the game, I started to chase him and say, "Do you want his number?" While the game is playing, and he didn't really respond. So then I chased him further. You know, again, the game's still playing here, and I said, "Oh, do you know him?" And then he responded this time, says, "Ah, no, but I'll find out who he is." And then that was it. So then throughout the game, I had one mind, half a mind on the game, and the other half was thinking, what's going on here? What just happened? Yeah, that's how it works.
Obviously, coming to Liverpool, you link up with Rafa Benitez. Now, he's a manager who I suppose was very strict, I suppose, from some point of view. He's a manager that you wouldn't necessarily click with. But how are those early meetings with him?
It was a bit hostile at first. He was, you know, it was a bit weird, I would say. My first meeting was he started. He told me to write down my mistakes and on a piece of paper and give it him, and then, you know, brainstorm how you would, you know, do right. So from the get-go, the first meeting was a bit strange, but yeah, my time there was, you know, I love being at Liverpool. I supported the, you know, this team since I was a little kid, and it was a dream to play for them. But you know, I think Rafa Benitez was very, very hard to really work with. Didn't like to see anyone's views. It was his way or no way. I felt like you couldn't really approach him. You know, obviously he's very successful for Liverpool, his time there. But yeah, I think a lot of players really didn't see eye to eye at times. And yeah, and he wasn't the best man manager.
Was there a moment where your relationship changed with him? Because obviously you played a lot for him during that first season. He's talking you up, saying you should be in the England squad. But then after that second, or after that first season, you've had the game of your life in the Champions League final. You weren't in the team as much. I know you got an injury and you sent off in the Porto game. Was there any specific moment you can pinpoint?
It was, I think it all started from when I was playing that whole last season, the first season, sorry, with a slight stress fracture in my shin. It would always ache after games, and I have to take some certain medication to, you know, numb the pain. And then the start of the season, the medical staff, look, if you continue, it may snap. So do you want to do surgery on it? So I did, and then I was out for 3 months. And then when he kind of rushed me back in a game at Anfield against Wigan, I think it was 1-1. I didn't play great. It was my first game back from a long injury, and after that, I just found it hard to get back in the team. He wasn't really selecting me much, and my mental health took a hit with it. I didn't know how to cope with not playing, being in the team, and I just wanted to play. And I kind of got frustrated, and then slowly went off the rails like that. And he never told me why. Couldn't really approach him, so I just felt lost and lonely. And then from then on, it kind of just went from bad to worse throughout the seasons, and then, kind of left in the dark.
It's a shame because it did come off the back of what was one of your best performances in a shirt in that Champions League final. And looking at those squads, you must have been the only player who wasn't an international or didn't win this endless amount of trophies. So even though you lost your game, what are your memories of that playing against Maldini, Nesta, and all these players you're running at?
Because it's a highlight of my career. A double bubble for me, as in I played in the Champions League final, which every professional wants to, and then I played it with my boyhood club, Liverpool, which those two things here is a dream come true for any young kid. And I got them both. Obviously, we lost, which is a bittersweet moment, but to reach those heights and to do that was a fantastic moment for me. And playing against Maldini and Kaká and Seedorf and Pirlo, Inzaghi, those moments will live me forever. And then I'm very glad and grateful that I managed to achieve that with Liverpool.
Did you swap any shirts with any of these players, or you still got hold of your own
My brother's got my one. I want it back.
one?
My brother's got it, but I didn't swap. No, but I think I think the whole squad was so distraught because we were the better team that game. We dominated the match, but we just didn't come away as victorious. And I think the team was so down and upset. We just didn't, feel like we wanted to swap shirts.
Do you still have the medal?
Oh yeah, that medal's goes with me everywhere. Now I've still got the medal at home. I'm still there in the cupboard. Yeah, and it's just, again, I know it's a runners-up one, but it's a great achievement to say that I've got one of these medals.
Now, one of the big talking points from that season was Bellamy and Risa in that training camp, and I believe there was another incident as well with Jerzy Dudek. I'm not, I think you and Robbie Fowler might have been involved in that one as well, but that's almost been overlooked somewhat because of Reece and Bellamy. So I was wondering if you were willing to divulge your point of view, what your version of events from that trip.
But when Jerzy Dudek got arrested?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got arrested. It was a madness. Basically, was out at the bar, and as he turned round, he bumped into a young female, and her nose just literally went pop, and loads of blood came, and a lot of frantic. It was totally an accident. He just as he turned round, they just bumped into each other. Obviously, not speaking Spanish, the Spanish waiter and the bar staff and everyone's panicking, and we don't know what's going on. The police then get called, it all gets settled, and then next minute, Jersey, we see him get handcuffed, and Pepe goes over to try and calm things down. He then gets arrested, and then next minute, we see two of our goalkeepers getting driven off to a police station, and like I'm thinking, oh my God. then obviously it all gets sorted out. I think Rafa has to come to the rescue at some stage. But yeah, it was an absolute commodity that night. It was a madness.
What was the team meeting like after that with Rafael? Because obviously you've had Bellamy and Risa as well. He must have been
It was
livid.
on the training pitch. It was, everyone got on the training pitch. We all, just before we trained, it was a big circle. First of all, he tells Bellamy and Risa that, enough's enough. We end it now. Do your due diligences, apologize, sorry, or whatnot, and shake as men. And then he says to Jersey and Pepe, I don't want it. To anyone, I don't want to see this kind of incident happen ever again, whether it's on tour, whether it's at home, XYZ, it's not on. And we all just agreed and just literally it stayed here. It goes no further. And we went on to training and have a, a good few days.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.